now.
All right, thank you very much. It is 3:10. Welcome to the Committee on Environment and Energy meeting. Welcome, everybody. We have a working quorum to begin discussion with the presence of the chairman, Ken Jenkins, legislator Burton, myself. I know we will have some other legislators joining us shortly. This is a follow-up meeting. We met with the commissioner and his team several months ago to talk about the MRF and the installment of the equipment for expanding recycling, 3-7. And one of the things that came out of that was we would need kind of enabling legislation to get the people of Westchester to comply with this. And there are actually, you know, as we all know, a number of great benefits to expanded recycling. You know, the reduction in fossil fuels, the reduction of the waste stream, you know, national security, the reduction of imported oil, all of those things. But we also know that there are some important financial incentives locally because the recyclables are sold. The funds are put back into the waste district, thereby reducing the cost to participants and municipalities. So it's kind of a win-win. So what we did was we asked our friend and colleague Marty to draft some legislation. Why don't you join us at the table as well? So this, what we see in front of us, is the legislation to expand the waste management legislation to include 3-7, essentially. So why don't we first turn it over to Marty to basically just briefly describe what he's drafted, and then we'll turn it over to the commissioner and his team to talk about implementation. First, if everyone wouldn't mind just identifying yourselves for the record, that'd be great.
I'm Associate County Attorney Marty Gleason.
Tom Morrow, Commissioner of Environmental Facilities.
Lou Vitron, Deputy Commissioner.
Mario Parisi, Director of Operations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What you have before you is a very, very simple, let's call it first draft of legislation designed to increase the types of plastics that are required to be recycled by waste generators in the county. What it does specifically is it amends the definition of plastics, as that term is used in the recyclables definition of the soil separations law. It does so in a very, very basic way. It just identifies plastics with resin identification codes 1-7 as those types of plastics that are now required to be recycled under the law. I had a very brief conversation with Commissioner Lauro, which will require a little bit of tweaking going forward. That
includes before you come
in
today. End of discussion.
The first question I have, thank you for that, and I have several questions from staff, and I know the legislators may have some, is, Commissioner, you had said that you thought this would be installed and semi-operational by maybe January or so, and I think if I remember, what you told the committee is that you and your team would want a couple of months to make sure that it was operating correctly, the bugs were worked out of the system. Would this February 1st start date give you enough time to accomplish that? And B, even if that answer were yes, would that be enough time for us to educate the public and the Carters that this is coming down the pike?
We've had some challenges with our vendor in working out the layout of the equipment for the low bidder. So I think we have those issues resolved. But I think that the January 1st or even February 1st dates that are mentioned here are probably optimistic at this point. We're hoping to have it finished maybe by the end of the first quarter. So I think that's what we're looking at right now. And to answer your second question about the education, that there has to be an education component. And as I was talking to Martin Gleason, we have to be careful where we start and how we ramp this up.
Right.
And I think we have to go over what's acceptable as far as plastics. For instance, you may have a plastic designated as a five, that may have contained pesticides. And that's something we wouldn't probably want to recycle. Even if it had been rinsed out, it still will contain traces of pesticides, and the manufacturers that buy the products and may want to turn it into baby food containers certainly don't want to deal with that. So that's one of the things. Another is the size. There's certain very large pieces of plastic that we probably would not want to accept. So we probably want to have an education program where we tell people that we're looking for food containers first and maybe some household products, but and in certain sizes, but certainly all of the numbers. And then, you know, do an education program as this the system works through it and as it recognizes all the different plastics. And we find out just how efficient it is, then we can expand upon that. But, you know, this is certainly a very good start. And, you know, we can work with the law department to...
We don't want to do something legislatively that's going to tie your hands and make it unrealistic for you. So it sounds like February 1st is clearly unrealistic. You're not going to get the machinery up and running until the end of the first quarter, so that's March 31st. Then, you know, what do you think? 90 days of public education? You know, is it realistic to say June 1st? You know, I'm trying not to hamstring you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what we can do to collaborate here to make this actionable?
Well, we can start putting notices up on the website to say this is coming. And here's what we'll accept, you know, in our startup period, and start that process, you know, in the next several months. That's certainly doable. When you start reaching out and starting to visit the municipalities and maybe get more things in their local papers that people may be more apt to read, that will happen after that. But I think we can certainly work with the press department and starting to put those messages together.
All right, so in terms of this legislation here, that the definition of plastics with resin, as Marty has defined it, will change, that's really the date this thing is going to kick in, legislatively. Mm-hmm. So what date works for you?
I would think that June 1st.
June 1st.
Right?
All right, so instead of February 1st, we're looking at June 1. Okay, let's take a minute, if you would, Commissioner, if you and your team would take a few minutes and take us through some of the process that's involved with this, because we know it's just not changing numbers. We know there's going to be an impact for Carters, for municipalities, for your operations. Why don't you take us through that, and then maybe we'll open it up for questions.
Sure. You know, as far as the process, as you know, we'll be able to, because we're going to an optical sorting system, we'll be able to take plastics 1 through 7. And the way the optical sorting system works, it shoots the laser through the plastic as it comes through the machine, measures the thickness of that plastic. And then based on the thickness, it'll be able to push it out into the, you know, the corresponding bin. And there's certain ways we can do this. We could, right now we market the 1s and 2s. We could market the 3s and 7s in bulk material, and that sells for about 5 cents a pound or 50 cents a ton that way. Or we could say plastics 5s are more demand at a certain time. We can basically play the market at that point and set the machine to identify plastics 5, take them out of the 3 through 7s, and then we could sell a clean, you know, plastic 5 or plastic 6 or plastic 7, depending on what the market dictates. So the system gives us a lot of flexibility to play the market, if you will, and pinpoint where we get our most money, but we'd also be taking the other ones that are worth a lot less, bulking them together and selling them as a product as well. As far as the carters, they'll be picking up all the commingled material mixed together as they normally did. Only, as you said, we'll have an educational period where we'll explain to everyone to put all their food and beverage containers together. And then when they're picked up and taken, we'll still be doing enforcement. You know, I would imagine we'll go through, similar to when we started our enforcement on the ones and twos in 2008, we'll probably go through a warning period of time to break them in before that June 1st time comes around and explain that, say, maybe as of July 1st, it'll be a violation, you know, a monetary fine to commingle these materials. Or not to collect these materials would probably be the bigger issue at that point. I mean, I don't know. What else do you want to know about these?
All right. For instance, what about municipalities that are not part of the solid waste district?
They'll still be required to.
They'll still be required to. How will that work with those carters?
Well, that's interesting because, as you know, some of those communities have private carters.
My town.
That private carter will need to find an outlet for the threes or sevens. And there's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of private MRFs that collect that material right now. They'll have to either find an outlet, or we can consider at some point maybe taking in private carters, depending on our capacity at the MRF after the retrofit goes through. So they're going to have to find an outlet, and there's some outside of the county. I don't know right now that anybody in the county accepts threes through sevens privately. But again, that might change when the law changes.
Well, I think we may need to be, we as a county, be flexible because, you know, we on this board and the ninth floor and all of you, we all collectively decry unfunded mandates. And if we pass this without the ability of certain people to access, it really becomes an unfunded mandate. So
might be a good incentive to join the district.
Yeah.
Right now, private carters can't come to the MRF. The tipping fee is higher, certainly, because they are not part of the district. They're not paying the taxes.
Yeah, the law.
Support.
Right.
So it's I think it's $45 a ton. We can certainly reconsider that price so that the hardship may not be as great for them, but they certainly shouldn't be on the same footing as someone who is in the district. I think the other part of the collection system is that the education is going to have to stress cleaning these materials because a lot of them are food containers, and you can't contaminate the loads with too much of that food material. And the other benefit of it is that there's going to be less rejects, so there will be more capture, less just being thrown into the garbage and sent up to Charles Point to be burned. So there's more revenue since there's less rejects. So that will be part of the system as well.
As far as the numbers, the threes for sevens will increase the amount of plastics we take in by between 10 and 15%. But also, as Commissioner said, we're also going to recover about 10% more because of human error. On the lines, there's a certain amount of material just gets through the system and ends up being burned up at Resco. But we'll reduce our residuals from about 12% of the total down to about 2% of the total when the new system goes in and the optical sorting begins. So we'll make up a lot more of the revenue that way. But you also need to consider that because of the bottle bill, our PETs are down about 27% this year. So we'll be making up that revenue as well when the new system's in place.
All right. So essentially, and then I'll acknowledge Legislator Rogowski. We're talking about clean threes through fives. So, for instance, no pesticides, no household chemicals. Those will still go into the garbage, or can those be recycled in another way, or do those go to the garbage?
Which numbers?
Well, they're threes through sevens, but they mentioned before you came in they don't want things like pesticide containers.
Yeah, right, okay.
Right. If they contain pesticides and they have some pesticides in them, then they would certainly go to one of our household
chemical
recycling days, or the HMRF as we call it, once it's constructed. But if they're clean and they just had that, then they can go into the garbage.
All right, regular. So that's part of the education. What about things like household cleaning products that are, you know, maybe not along the chemical lines of a pesticides, but, you know, Ivory dish soap, Dawn dish soap, those kind of things. Are those recyclable or?
Yeah, as long as they're rinsed out, they're acceptable.
So, well, I'm talking about chemical
contents. Yeah, but they're still.
As long as you rinse them out, they're acceptable.
Okay.
Shampoo.
All right, so you'll be able to delineate in your education process which chemicals are verboten and which are.
We'll have two columns. Do recyclies, don't recycle.
Okay. Legislator Agowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of things. This question may have been asked before I came here. The new equipment that's going in to do this capital cost, is our tenant paying for that? Are we paying for that? I haven't seen a capital project on that.
That was cash.
That was cash. It was cash.
It up.
So it's county.
The solid waste district.
I see. The solid waste. Okay. The solid waste district cash.
The cost of the equipment was about $4.5 million.
So $4.5 million, and the district just had that cash sitting around. Huh? That was good.
We cashed that up.
We bonded
for the project.
Didn't
we bond that? I thought we approved this like 2 years ago.
What did we vote on then?
He bonded the closure of the Sprout Brook landfill.
There was something a year or two ago pertaining to the increased equipment. Do you remember what that was?
Now, how does that work with our contract? So, to the extent we do we share the revenues? What is it? City Carding has that.
City Carding, we share the revenues 80%, 20%. County gets 80%. City markets it, so to make sure that they market it in the most efficient and get the best price, they get 20%, which, you know, is probably about the going rate. Some are getting higher than that.
Okay, so we're good. Well, we're not paying back the bonds, but that $4.5 million is going to come back through the 80%, right? Regionally, nationally, in terms of this type of plastic now, are we the first in the nation, the last in the nation? Where do we fit in this? Because, again, we're not reinventing the wheel. So this equipment is on the market. We bought it. Anyone in the Northeast doing this?
Rockland does it.
So 1 through 7. So
yeah,
markets are emerging now, and that's why it's a good
Albany.
Time to do it. There's a few. New Jersey, I think, there's some
problems. Well, you raised a good point. I mean, it's not necessarily life and death, but the whole idea of these pesticides, you know, it's, yes, education, but there are, you know, some glitches. The system's not clean because you have, and I'm just wondering, has that created problems elsewhere, or simply the system can tolerate? I mean, you're not going to get 100%, but what's the history here? Is Rockland bringing in a lot of pesticides? Do people just not do it? I mean, is there any, you know, before we approve this?
With all due respect, Marty, there's a lot. Look on this sheet.
Is there something?
There's a lot.
But they're not running into problems?
I don't know, but there's plenty of places to go to find out. Atlantic County, L.A.
Rockland, right across the river, still.
All right, because I mean, you know, I don't want to be accused of putting pesticide in baby bottles. You know, I mean, they raise a good question. And so at least not the first. If we are doing it, someone else is also doing it.
And keep in mind, the system's not unmanned. There's QC people along.
Right, so I'm saying,
well,
like, we're setting it up. There are backup plans to try to catch some of this stuff. In terms of the time for the timing of the bill. It might make sense. It's one thing to say the bill, the local law takes effect, but we can make it take effect February, March, but say the first 6 months part of the bill, because there's nothing unless the rest of the source separation law, you know, stands on its own. We're just amending a little piece of it, but that's ongoing. If for this section we might want to add something right here for this work, there's 3 months, 6 months. Education, then you start with violations, but that can be built into the law. So the law takes effect February 1st, just so we're doing it.
The only problem with that is if people start putting the 3s through 7s in, it before the system can accept it, it's going to contaminate the 1s and 2s. So we won't have clean 1s and 2s to sell at that. You know, if they start separating it before the machinery is in place, we have to go, we're going to be down for about 4 months. And during those 4 months, we're going to be bringing, sending that material out to other MRFs. We have a diversion plan. They're not going to take it to, from us if it's not a clean
Marty, product. this is much cleaner and simpler this way. Just do it June 1st and change the definition, and they'll do the education without it being in the law.
Well, the education's going to start before the effective date.
Right.
So it's going to start out. I don't see that difference. I mean, if we're going to, once the first day you're out there educating, they're going to start anyway. But just
so for the education.
But I don't know. It seems that we can require the education. But you're saying you're going to be down for 4 months. Yeah. So for 4 months.
Yeah.
Just the plastic side, not the newspaper side.
Right, just the
cardboard. So for 4 months, now we don't want to tell our folks stop recycling. We want to keep recycling. You're going to send it out elsewhere. So during that time period,
the education's already started. We have.
Yeah, I mean, I'm missing the disconnect between the education and
what you say. As of June 1, thou shalt.
I don't think we need to complicate it, Marty.
Start learning how now.
Well, I mean, other than that, we just want to make sure there's certain, as you just take commissions, they're going to do it prior to the start of the law. They're just going to do the education. So we don't need to mandate the education. We do that in other areas.
No, because I think it's in their self-interest to do the education, because if they don't, they're going to get flooded with all the wrong stuff.
All right, but we're delegate. You know, they're saying, but all of a sudden the budget comes out. Well, there's no money for education. I mean, I'm just saying, the reality is, now because this comes out of the refuse district.
The municipal recycling officials are aware of what we're doing. We have periodic meetings with them.
I mean, we have all these battles going on. I just want to make sure if we decide that education is a good idea, what's the best way for getting across? Put in the committee report. We think it's a good idea. Let's see the refuse district budget. Are they going to budget with it? I mean, or just say. You know what? There's 6 months of education, and then you start accepting it. That's a point well taken, in the sense that
can you let us know so we can include in the committee report, when you're going to start educating? I'd hate to see us rewrite the whole law. The law is pretty simple.
Well,
can you let us know,
when
you're going to start the education, do you have the, X, Y, and Z? To address legislator
against
concerns.
It's just different ways of drafting it. But over the past, there's just questions of how it works. One way to solve it.
No, point
well taken.
And I think
okay.
they can
okay.
get us the info on how they're going to do that.
Okay. And again, you say now other parts of the law we started with was, first sometimes we started with notices, and then it's a violation, and it builds itself up. Now, again, are we also delegating that to the process by which you're going to do this? Does it mirror other things, do we want to say for the first 3 months after it takes effect, you get a warning only, or you get violation? I mean, do we want to lay that in the law, or delegate that to them about the enforcement?
I think it's been pretty efficient. Like when we started the enforcement. That we have these not only with the municipal recycling officials, but also with the private haulers.
Put the stickers on there.
And we have the UPS stickers available. Right. And we tell them where to get them.
And that's all been done administratively. That was never part of the law for any right. one of these right. sections.
One of the things we did, Marty, if you remember, this committee had a meeting with the commissioner and a lot of the private carters to talk about the process. And we'd be happy to do that again if that would help.
No, if we have a system that works, then that's fine. And again, sort of big picture. From time to time, as we recycle more, and at some point maybe we'll get an update on RESCO. We have the new contract and how that's all happening now, and is it working out, and the money and everything. But presume up to 61% is important to report about the recycling.
Let me question about that. There's a little story with that.
Is that the asphalt? Or is that?
Well, I think it was Ridge Hill. I think there was a lot of construction and demolition debris from Ridge Hill, and that's very heavy, and everything's computed by weight, so that raised those numbers quite a bit. The other thing that's happening is that the state is doing their own solid waste management plan. And they're changing some of the ways that things are recorded so that they're really getting down almost to just the commingles and the paper. So they're almost separating out the construction and demolition debris. They still want you to recycle it, but they're saying we won't include that in the numbers. And I said, well, wait a minute. If you're not included in the numbers, what's driving people to get to, are you going to change the 35% or the 40%, you know, or whatever that is? Mm-hmm. Because the combing was weigh a lot less. So if you're going to do it by weight versus the MSW, which is very heavy, you know, your recycling rates have to go down to 10%. And that's, I don't think anybody wants to go back to that. So we've made some comments on the draft solid waste management plan, but you have to understand, they don't want to include any of the sludges that we recycle from the wastewater treatment plants.
Well, let me ask you this, from your perspective, over the years as municipalities, you know, do the recycling, I assume there's on average municipalities are sending less garbage to RESCO, I mean, as more goes to the MRF, whether it's coal mingled, asphalt, whatever. So two things. I mean, one, the municipalities, and that's a whole separate issue. You know, some towns are struggling with cost to go to once a week and how many trucks. But, you know, I say if you have half the garbage 20 years later and you still have the same number of trucks and routes and some, you know, the efficiencies at the local level, something's not being recalibrated. But that's, I mean, that's a local issue. But it ties in, do we, if our capacity, not so much at RESCO, but let's say at the MRF, I mean, what, once we start doing this, where are we capacity-wise? Can we reach into the Bronx once we're set up and say to New York City, hey, if we can make a few bucks on it, we can help you out, send some of your plastics or all your recycles for that matter, right down the highway, right down, you know, the thruway there out of Riverdale. We take, is that something we think about doing from the refuse district point of view? Do we have the capacity?
Nobody wants to give up the paper and the cardboard because it's too valuable. Okay, so unless you're going to pay somebody for it, they're not going to just give it to you.
But if we go, if New York City, if they're not doing this 1 through 7 now, once we get into this, would that be an opportunity to reach out to the borough president of the Bronx and say, send some of your stuff to us?
Well, I think we would probably want to reach out to some of the private cars that we have
in the county. I see. Work with our,
because this equipment will double our capacity on the coming.
Okay. Well, something to think about. Once we get into it, if we, you're right, let's take care of the upstate, up county municipalities, ma'am, it's a very good point about unfunded mandate. We shouldn't be passing something and right away they're stuck, so that's an excellent point. But something to keep in mind, if we have this extra capacity, you know, how do we maximize that? Mm-hmm. Keep the refuse district taxes down if we can bring in some outside stuff. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. When this equipment is installed and operational, can we come down as a committee? We'd love to see it
in
operation. Thank you. Legislator Murcutt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a question. I recycle everything. So I don't know if that's good or bad because I'm looking at some of these things going, well, I put this in my recycling bin anyway. I mean, I do. Plastic cups, they go in. My DPW takes them away. What happens at that point? Are they getting sorted out and separated there? They are. Something like a rubber hose. Now, I put that out for bulk. That's something you're going to take in the future. Is that incorrect or correct? I mean, it's listed on here.
You take rubber hose. A lot of people, I know the mayor of Tarrytown approached me and says, you know, I don't tell our people, you know, look on the bottom of the cup, some of them can't see.
I don't think a lot of people do, to be honest with you.
And I said, well,
plastic,
you know.
It's going in the bin.
Some of it's going in the bin already.
This is not their list. This was a list that the staff pulled out.
Oh, okay.
So this is not necessarily a list of all the things that they would take or not take.
It's a rough guideline.
So even some of the rejects that are not ones and twos, we still do try and find markets for them. It's just we don't all send them up to be burned, even though there's electricity to be made from it. But there are still, you know, we have some markets. I think this will be able to refine our markets, go, you know, and single out. Right now, I think it's either fours or fives are very valuable. So we would shoot those out and make cubes, you know, loads of those because we'd get, you know, a good amount of money for it.
Okay, so if I am one of those people that looks on the bottom of everything and I find out it's not recyclable, I'm putting it into my regular garbage. So if the municipalities, if the residents follow this correctly, it actually has the potential of reducing solid waste.
Yes.
That, which is, I mean, that's a very good incentive at $25 a ton for the municipalities to, you know, to follow through on the education because it will eventually reduce their costs.
Well, sure, because they're paying $71.50. For MSW, for the garbage, and they're only paying $25 for the recycling.
Okay.
So every ton, we save $50, okay. You know, roughly.
And it potentially.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I note for the record the arrival of Legislator Testa, Legislator Nona, and questions, Legislator Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's been a long time since one and two came in, and I can't recall what the logic was for not accepting anything higher than two. Could you refresh my mind and explain to me why we have now come to the point where we'll take essentially anything that's a plastic?
Well, I just don't think there was much of a market for it. It was too much effort to take them out and to market them. But I think now you're seeing a lot more plastic products, you know, so many years after the source separation law was written. So there are markets for a lot more plastic. So, and I think people are reforming them and into other products. So now there's a market, now there's money involved, and when there's money,
there's a driver. For instance, we met a company came up to the market last week from overseas that were looking for specifically 3, 5, 6s, and 7s because they melted down to make synthetic diesel out of it. So there's these emerging markets coming to the forefront now.
Well, the plastic oil.
And the more and more of these, you know, companies that start looking for these plastics, the prices can go up, obviously.
So it was driven by economics at the beginning, and the economics have changed. And so from if I'm telling people why we're doing this, the answer is we can now make a buck on it, and then we can also save a buck, as Legislator Marcon has pointed out, which would be a terrific thing. And it would seem to me that that's a ought to be part of the marketing plan.
That's the slogan.
To get people to
make a buck, save a buck.
Save a buck off of your
cost. It's all green.
Yeah. Save a buck, make a buck.
Sounds good to me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right, do we have any other questions from legislators? Anybody out here have questions or comments? Anybody from the public? Anybody from staff? Okay.
Chris.
Yeah, Chris.
Just on the definition of the legislation, do you think that, you know, from what you described now, that the way we're writing it is discreet enough to remove the containers that you don't want to have? Because as it's written right now, it's basically everything except for these listed items. And, you know, that might be something to look at if you...
Well, I think we have to flesh that out a little bit more and expand that definition and the descriptions.
But and that would be in the education process.
Well, we'll make sure, you know, it's written in the law.
Well, we're passing the law today. Theoretically, that's why we're here. So,
well, if it sounds like they want to change. They want
if you want to change things, then let us know, and we won't vote today. And
well, I think we want to go over that description a little bit more. Maybe just work on it a little bit more so that then the education supports what's in the law.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's a good thing we knew that.
I would think that would be important to exclude what needs to be excluded because otherwise, you know, the law is the law. It reads
right.
That everything's
no, that's good to know. John?
I don't know if this would come into legislation or not, but if it were...
It would come to... I suppose it would.
We can't bypass it, but if it's going to come to legislation next, maybe you want to pass it out of here, and then we could have a joint meeting and get it...
Oh, and make the changes in legislation.
If we're going to change it, if we're going to change it, it's going to come back to environmental.
Yeah, but do a joint meeting next time.
We did that with the MS4.
Right. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, it's not like anyone's opposed to this. We're just going to...
As we've had our discussion, pass and get it out.
So we say, I mean, I guess the guy knows what vinyl is.
Because from an environmental point of view,
what's vinyl? What is rigid plastic? Maybe there's a way to get a better description of some of these exclusions. That's my concern, is the exclusions. And people are going to, you know, just throw in anything without being that clear. And plastic film, what's plastic film that we use?
Saran wrap.
Heavy plastic used to secure skids.
Right, let me ask you a question.
So that's my problem. Is that
right? Right. So all right. If we're going to do it, let's do this right. We were going to pass it out today, but if you want to revise it, we won't pass it out today. But let's not spend a lot of time. You know, we want to get this done so you can do what you need to do. We can do what we need to do, and we can start.
Can
we can all
date,
start.
We change the date to June.
Yeah, the date has changed to June 1st, but. You know, can you guys come back in like 2 or 3 weeks with a revised thing, and we'll pass it
still
out.
Doing what we're not going to stop them from kind of getting ready.
Oh, no, 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 no. There's right, the equipment and all that's right, moving forward. But right, let's so say, Chris, let's say we'll try and, you know, depending on the schedule, get them back in 3 weeks with a revised definition, and you know, let's pass this out for all purposes.
3 weeks is October 3rd, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
October 4th.
Fourth. So, Wendy, why, and Chris, just coordinate with Melanie about we'll continue our meeting after 1:30, and we'll meet jointly at 3.
Yeah, and we'll overlap for a while.
Two committees.
Okay. All right. Two other things. Thank. Any other questions, comments for our guest today? Thank you all. We'll see you in 3 weeks, and we'll wrap this up. Couple of quick things in your packets. Here is the work plan that we put together with Chris and Wendy. We have not done the sort yet on priorities, and things have to be received and filed. The back page, a lot of these things did not come through official referrals, but these are things we're working on too. We're going to flush this out. As I said last time, if any of you have items that you want this committee to take up, please let me know. We're happy to take them up. I know Barney spoke to me about the estuaries. We're going to get that going very shortly. So, you know, this is not my committee. This is your committee. So let me know what you want to be working on. We also have a set of minutes.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have a second on that?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thanks. Anything else?
If you wanted to receive and file that, I guess that's up to you. Or if you want to, I guess, examine it and do it at the next meeting, that's something for you.
Okay. What's your pleasure, folks? On here, Chris has identified 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I think. Or what are these? What when you say remove, what do you mean?
Well, that actually means it just comes right off because it's approved and enacted.
Oh, so it doesn't need to. There are 10 items to be received off and filed. Right. If we want to do that just to clean up our work product, I would suggest we do it.
Remove.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor receiving and filing these items?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. So then next week, we'll have a cleaned up version of this. We'll sort it by priority. Again, if you have feedback on any of these items or any of your own items, get them to me or Chris or Wendy this week for incorporation in the plan, and we'll work away.
On number one,
yeah,
I seriously doubt we have the authority to enact a law that would interfere with the Public Service Commission's jurisdiction. I mean, I know we don't like what Con Ed is doing.
Right.
I don't think we have the power to enact.
Right, well, it's just a referral, so.
But soon we will.
Yeah?
Legislator Abadani is the.
Oh, yeah, sponsor. Right. He'll move right to Speaker. He'll be Speaker before you know it.
Okay.
You're right.
And the flood control one
no,
is we're working on,
speaking
too.
Yeah.
And the plastic bag. So the first, the other items on the first page we're working on, you know.
Yeah, we're working on. And the MS4s are coming soon, so. Katie, do you have anything from upstairs coming down the pike? I know we've been talking about the MS4 stuff. Anything else?
Yeah, I just got back today, so.
All right, I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Yeah, okay.
Don't worry.
I'll get back. No,
were you someplace fun?
Just out of
the country.
Nice.
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 If you
yeah,
want.
All right, well, if you guys know of anything coming down the pike, let us know, because we want to work it in a timely way.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
So adjourn?
Second.
We did already.
All right, thanks. Adjourn. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is
going to
be really fun.
Yeah. Thank you, Wendy. Thank
well,
you, Chris.
Well, days work well. Done.
I never realized we needed to make a change in the law. I think you were good to figure out. I just figured, you know, if we can do it, we will.
Yeah.
Realizing, duh, of course it was law.
Actually,
good.
Oh, did I get it?
Good.
Sign.
I think Everybody did sign that. Yes, thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, I think Bill Burton needs to be listed on here. He's not as a member.
Here he is.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
I knew I squeezed him in somewhere.
Oh, I got to get more nice.
Okay.
Judy, did Bill share?